station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And you are listening to State of the Arts.
Here on the magic that is LA Talk Radio.
That's right. And we'd like to thank Paul first off, our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services, for supporting us this year. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Service, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their support of our live arts calendar. Performing Arts Live is the most comprehensive online directory of event information for music, theater, and dance events in Southern California.
And in just a few minutes, Paul, we'll be talking to a man about whom the New York Times had this to say. Nowadays, probably no other performer could infuse that song with the manic mischief that Jason Graw, a frisky clown with a real tenor, pumped into it. Jason Graw is with us in the studio today, Paul.
Hello, Jason.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, fellas.
Welcome.
Good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
And later in the hour, a gentleman who honed his craft on stage in Chicago and has since taken L.A. by storm with over 60 film and TV appearances to his credit. A regular on two Comedy Central series, he is now one of the stars of NBC's smash hit Parks and Recreation. The irrepressible Jim O'Hare is with us.
Hey.
Welcome, Jim.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And, Jim, I just want to know that I stored this sound file in anticipation, actually, of both of you being here. So if you say anything especially clever, we get the rim shot, ladies and gentlemen.
We spare no expense here.
I can tell.
Oh, wow. Where's that drummer?
Yeah. Oh, and also, I should say, too, we have a guest here, a friend.
We do.
Trudy Blair is with us.
Trudy
she is
Blair.
Not mic'd, but she's back there. Say hello, Trudy, to see if we hear you.
As Jim called her?
Yes.
Eye candy a little while.
Yeah, she's our eye candy.
Eye candy, yeah.
Trudy is our eye candy representing our sponsor.
There you go. Services. Oh, yes, we have to behave ourselves?
Yes,
is that
we do.
It? Trudy? All right. Maybe she won't tell. Who knows?
All right. So how was your week, Michael?
You know what? It was fun. It was a good week. Busy. And through the busyness, I managed to get to a garage sale, which I like to go to every once in a while. And I saw some great art there, actually. And it made me kind of harken back to a time in my young life when a friend of mine, who was a really good artist, was selling his paintings and having gallery showings. And I couldn't understand it. I mean, it was abstract art, right? So at that time of my life, I thought, if he can do this, I can do this. So I took this beautifully framed a picture that he'd given me of a piece of his artwork, and I put it down on the table. I took a piece of typing paper, and I took a box of crayons. And I...
How old were you? Can I ask
you? I was probably in my mid-20s.
Mid-20s and crayons were just at the
well,
ready.
No, I was proving a point. I thought, I can do this, and I can do this with crayons. And I replicated this piece of art, and I framed it the very same way that he framed his for me. Had a garage sale, put that out there, and my piece of art and his, mine sold for $75.
His did not sell at all.
No.
Okay.
Wow. So it was a very interesting experience for me. And I like art. I know you like art.
I like
right?
art too. I actually have a comment about art. It's funny you should mention that because I saw this online, which I think is just if we're beginning the art theme.
Well, yeah.
Laura Bell of Roscommon, Michigan.
Not to be confused with Laura Bell Bundy.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Laura Bell. Just Laura Bell. Spent 800 hours on her masterpiece, a 14-foot-by-4-foot recreation of The Last Supper, done entirely in laundry lint.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
So
wow.
She actually bought colored towels and washed and dryered them to produce the specific hues of lint necessary for Da Vinci's work. So thinking is that why stop there? Why stop there? Let's recreate some of the other classic artistic pieces. So I was thinking what we could do is I could give you the material or the medium, as they say,
right.
that was used to create it, and maybe you guys could suggest
all right, guys,
for what
so
it could be.
Pay attention. Yeah.
So my first thought is a statue of Mary, and love doing this with O'Hare here because Jim is Catholic and observer.
Me too.
A recovering Catholic,
too.
I should say.
Yeah.
A statue of Mary holding Jesus made entirely out of unleavened bread.
So what would that be called?
My
guys?
Title suggestion. Ooh. I'll just give you an example. The Pita Pieta. Okay, so I'll just give you an idea of where we're going with this. Okay, so that's the first sample. That's
again. Star from the yeast. Maybe.
All right. You're going to do very well in this game.
Thanks.
The next one. The face of a mysterious smiling woman made entirely out of Mexican beer bottle caps. You got it?
My last Saturday night.
Corona Lisa.
Corona Lisa.
Okay.
Dang.
The face is the face. There's only two more, believe me. Hey, did I say that we needed this? There we go. Okay. The faces of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt made entirely out of toilet paper. Mount
Flushmore.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say Plushmore.
There we go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. What a great audience this is.
And finally, to wrap up this brilliantly comic bit, a statue of a woman with no arms made entirely out of synthetic phalluses.
Penis. Oh, sorry. The statue of...
De Milo.
Oh, yeah. Penis De Milo.
So, okay.
Wow.
Jason, you're entirely too good at that game.
Yeah, Jason, you nailed each one.
Thank
you
so much.
This is the soundbite we're saving, though. Just Jason's voice just going, penis!
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 But no one said that she's involved with Ricky Gervais this morning, isn't she?
What's that?
She's involved with Ricky Gervais this
morning. Are we going to go there?
Yeah. Sounds like his type of
We don't have the time. We don't have the time. We'll talk Golden Globes at the end. We should get to Jason.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, he starred on Broadway in A Grand Night for Singing, Falsettos, Stardust, Snoopy. And do black patent leather shoes really reflect up? Mm. Off-Broadway shows include Forever Plaid, Olympus on My Mind, and All in the Timing, a Drama Desk nominee for Best Actor in a Musical, and a recent recipient of his second Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award. Here's a little slice of our guest's vocal stylings. Oh. This one is called Out of Time.
Why am I moving at this pace? Life is going by so fast. What am I doing in this race? I always finish last. Skimming headlines, meeting deadlines, waiting for my ship to arrive. Work through lunch and after hours, telling myself that by killing myself, I'll survive. Give me one moment. Freeze that frame, hold that shot, give me a moment. Isn't this moment all we've got? If I lag, if I...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jason Graw.
Jason is here.
Oh, so much. They all stop applauding.
They do.
It's
kind of a huge thing.
It's like no fade here.
They stop or they'll be punished.
Yeah.
They have been punished in the past.
Oh, man, you don't want to turn on them.
No.
It's
an angry crowd. Nasty. Jason, it's so nice to have you here in the studio, and it is so nice to know that you're going to be headlining my stage.
Yes, I am.
Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City.
And where exactly would that be, Michael?
In Studio City.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's this Sterling's place?
It's the premier supper club here in Los Angeles. It hosts the best Broadway performers like Jason in concert. And artists also dedicated to the Great American Songbook. So we're the best of Broadway, the best of the Great American Songbook, and we've been there for 5 years.
And Jason, this is your first appearance,
this
correct?
This is his first appearance.
On the stage.
On the stage.
Yes, I've certainly been in the audience.
Oh, you've attended shows.
I have. Okay. And the pizza margarita is spectacular.
Yes.
Is it?
I love it.
Yes.
The food's really good there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You confused me.
Pizzetti.
Pizzetti?
That's how you call it, yeah.
Oh, Pizzetti.
Sorry. The one you had, yeah.
Because
I didn't get that right off, and I'm just like, tequila and mozzarella? How does that work?
Oh, the pizza margarita.
Yes.
That's with the tomato and the mozzarella and the basil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which
has super
an Italian,
thin crust.
I should know.
Oh,
but that's pizzette.
Pizzette.
Which is the crisp crust.
Pizzette.
Okay. But actually, it's taken me, what, Jason? 2 years to get you. On my stage?
Five, actually.
Five.
Yeah,
oh, really?
At the beginning. Yeah, it's longer. It just seems like two.
Michael, you're more pathetic than you think.
I never got a call. Whatever.
consider this your audition. If it goes really well, you too can be on the stage.
It's only $40. I'll do it.
Now, the reason is he's a very, very busy man. So I've just been very patient, haven't I?
You have been so kind.
Yeah?
Yes, you have. I've been dying to come and do your place.
Well.
Boy, if I had a nickel. If I had a nickel for every time a guest is
sent. I had a nickel. It's really a fabulous room.
But you're bringing in a very special show, and which has to do, is a tribute to a dear friend of yours.
Yes, someone that I've been lucky enough to be in his life a lot the last 10 years.
Right.
A Broadway superstar, Jerry Herman.
Yes.
And this is his 80th birthday year, and he just won the Kennedy Center Honor.
Yes, which is very saw funny. That.
And I've done a lot of shows with him this year. I've been traveling the country with him on a show called Hello, Jerry. Hello,
mm-hmm.
Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with Jerry and his longtime musical director, Don Pippin, and Karen Morrow,
wow.
The fabulous Karen
yeah,
Morrow,
yeah.
And Paige O'Hara, who's the voice of Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And we've been to, like, I don't know, 25 cities with this wonderful Jerry Herman concert. And then I did the grand tour with him in Los Angeles, and I did Mac and Mabel at Lincoln Center with him. So I figure I'm going to ride his coattails this year.
Well, and your show is called, in tribute, it is called The In Perfect Harmony.
Yes.
The Songs of
kinda
Jerry
funny.
Herman. Yes.
That's right.
Kinda
That's
funny.
Right. So it's all...
He's actually a very, very nice... I met him very, very briefly when I went to the Ovation Awards. I had a show a few years back that was nominated for an Ovation Award, and it was the year that they gave him the honorary one.
Oh, yeah. I sang on his tribute.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Thank you for remembering.
Sorry. Now, really if you were it. At Sterling's, yeah. I probably would have recalled it.
Thank you.
But,
big impression. yes, that was a really exciting tribute, though. He's an incredible
he
man.
Is.
He's
and he
so
does.
Generous.
And he looks like he's about 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks very vital.
He's
going
to be 80 this year.
Yeah.
And he's tireless, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going strong. But he's generous and he's hilarious and really smart. And I've really been so lucky to get to hang out with him and be in his world. So I thought I'd try this out. So I tried the show out in Palm Springs
mm-hmm.
last month and it went well. So we thought, all right, it's ready for Vitello's then.
Yeah, and your director, Lee Tannen, is coming in from New York.
Yes, he is.
To do this, I
yes,
understand,
he is.
Right?
Yep, he's spectacular. I've known him for years, and he's great. He just had a play, I Loved Lucy,
mm-hmm.
about I guess she's his aunt-in-law. He's Gary Morton's step-nephew.
Right,
so he
right,
had quite a close
said, yeah.
relationship with Lucille Ball. So he wrote a book called I Loved Lucy
yes.
and just directed the production. He wrote the production that just was at the Laguna Playhouse.
Well, I know you told me, we had coffee one day, and Jason was telling me a funny story about involving Lee and yourself,
mm-hmm.
right, going out to dinner, and then you came back and you actually went to Lucy's home.
Right.
On Roxbury Drive in
yes.
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing.
And you tell the rest of that story.
Well, we went to the Ivy.
Yes.
And I picked Lee up and Lucy was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of amazing. And so he was kind of showing me around her house and he took me into her video room where every video of every show she's ever taped and recorded was in there. And in the middle of it was Das Boot. And so I just, you know, just went, oh, I loved Lucy and Das Boot. And in the hallway you heard, so I'm so excited about that.
Oh, can I interject a story
Please.
That's similar to that? This is so horrible and in such bad taste, but it's so damn funny. My cousins were here from Italy, and we went to Universal to the the Universal
Studio
to the park mm. aspect of things, and they live in rural Italy, so they an amusement park to them is a roller coaster in a parking lot, you know. So to be at Universal was just like unbelievable. And she was so overwhelmed and so overstimulated that we'd just been on Backdraft, we went on Back to the Future ride, we're on ET, all of these different things. But she just can't handle it. She's like, this is a better day than my wedding. This is the best day of my life. She's like, tears in her eyes. Mm-hmm. And she turns around, and of course the sound stages have the movies that have also been made there. So just coming out of Back to the Future, she turns around and she goes, Schindler's List. insist, we've got to go on that one.
Oh, my
God. No, it doesn't really work.
It's not a ride.
It's not, and it's not a happy one.
Yeah. You know? There's no exit.
So I just think it, since you started the ball rolling with funny German stories, Das Boot.
Yes, I've never been to Universal Studios and seen those things.
What's that? I've never been to Universal Studios and seen those
things. No, it's not within the park, but you can see the sound stages where they have the posters of the films.
I thought Backdraft was a surgical procedure or something.
It depends.
Yeah.
E.T. is still there. And
that's a whole other
thing. Is it?
E.T.'s gone. It's now the Mummy.
Really?
Yeah, which is a roller coaster without drops.
What happened to Mary Hart?
What happened to... Oh, you're talking about the other E.T.
Oh, yes, I'm talking about the other E.T.
What does that mean, a roller coaster without drops? You mean it doesn't...
It's just more fast.
It's a roller coaster where they keep it... But there's no flips
because it's in the same building as E.T., which was not a tall building to begin with, so they couldn't put drops. So basically,
you're saying it's a very boring roller coaster ride.
Didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, okay. Bump cars, really.
Well. Jason, let's go back to your show for a moment. Can you tell us, tell our audiences a little bit what to expect? I mean, what kind of music of Jerry's are you?
Well, it's actually going to be all music of Marvin Hamlisch, but I thought I would call it a Jerry Herman tribute because people like him so much. And, you know, draw a new audience.
That's just it. It's going to be all Leonard Cohen.
So people are
giving out complimentary razor blades.
But I want to give it a surprise. Yeah, I want everyone to kill themselves. It's all Jerry Herman songs, of course.
But some of the great ones are less familiar.
A hodgepodge.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of everything. Trying to choose a Jerry Herman song. You know, it's only an hour and 15 minute show. It's
right.
Hour and 10 minutes. And to try to, I hope that's okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Hour 15.
Hour and 15.
Yeah, that's about what they are.
But to try to, you know, get all of Jerry's songs into that amount of time is really challenging because he didn't write a bum song.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every song he wrote is spectacular. So, we just kept going through everything, going, we have to do this, and we have to do this. And still, I feel like we've got 15 more songs that we need to do.
Of course.
So how many medleys? Nine.
Well, I'm just putting one in, actually, right now as we speak.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's just like, we didn't get in Bosom Buddies, and we didn't get in, there's like five or six more songs. So we're trying to figure out a way to get these in. Two medleys.
Does he live locally? Does he live here? Or does
he lives
here?
Everywhere, but yes, he has a place here in town.
Okay. So will he be attending?
I wish. I think he's going to be in Florida. I think he's spending the winter in Florida.
Okay.
He went to the school, University of Miami, so he hangs out down there a lot. So, which is okay.
Yeah.
I'll have enough to think about having Jerry Herman sitting there worrying about him. But I hope that he'll see it.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking if I were in your shoes, I'd be like, I can't make it. Oh, damn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, when I go play Domino's Pizza's upstairs room. Now I'll invite him to that.
Lord.
Which is almost as nice as Patello's. But their pizzetta
exactly.
sucks, though.
Exactly.
The pizzetti, though, it is all right.
Pizzetti.
You said that like a true Paisan.
I'm around you, for goodness sakes.
Could I just say, forgive me for interrupting, John Boswell is the musical
John
director.
Boswell, we love John Boswell.
Yeah, he's one of the greats
of
all time. I
absolutely.
Just love working with him. This is the first time we've actually worked together.
And since we're on that subject, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well tell you absolutely how to come and be an audience member. There aren't very many seats left for the show. As you can imagine, Jason will sell out very quickly, and he has.
That's what they say about Jason. He's sold out.
Sold out years ago. Very quickly. Oh, my ear.
It was that backdraft. Okay. The show is on January 23rd, and it is dinner seating for that is 5:30 to 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. And by reservation only, by the way, 818-754-8700. Once again, 818-754-8700. Up close and personal with Jason Graw at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's. Yeah.
I'm going.
You are?
I am going to go.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh, you and Monica.
Yeah.
Lovely.
See, we'll have two there.
Yeah. And Trudy.
Yeah.
You'll be there.
Trudy to go.
I don't know.
Won't you be there?
Yeah. When is it?
What?
Sunday, Trudy. Sunday.
She fell asleep, Michael.
It's a $40
cover. Don't give
someone
a head.
For 35.
I'll give it to you for 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. What's that old joke? Well, your first prize is a week in Toledo. Second prize is 2 weeks in Toledo. Good night, everybody. Wait a minute. That calls for the rib shot. I need a new soundbite. Need a new one.
Jason, let me ask you a question. You've done so much in New York and so many significant things in New York. Do you miss that? I mean, you're living out here in Los Angeles. I know you work all over the country. But would you like to go back to Broadway and do something new that's very different from you?
I'd rather just sing at supper clubs all over the country.
Domino's is calling.
What I was leading to, I mean, he's a very funny man. He's a beautiful singer, and his work is reflected in everything that he's credited here for. But no, I meant something different. Would you do something on Broadway that was not a musical? Would you be interested in that?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure, I'm a prostitute. You know, wherever they pay me, I'll go. You know, I'm so open to anything.
Sell out.
You know, I go back to New York a lot. I do so much of my work in New York, and I do a lot of concerts there. And I I'd be happy to go there. Although I just got offered something off Broadway, and I would have meant to be there for January, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
And I've softened a little out here. You know, it's really beautiful. Today's the most beautiful day I've seen in L.A. since I've lived here.
88 degrees in January.
No, I know.
Oh, my God, it's spectacular.
Amazing.
So I thought, wow, to have to give all this up to, you know, go and work off Broadway. Right. It was a fabulous group of people at a fabulous theater, the York Theater. But I kind of opted out of that, you know. Yeah. So
stick it out here.
It's a brutal time. I was there in the winter in 2008, you know, and it was just like, you know, it's hard when you get used to this.
Yeah. But, you know, New York is fabulous. To have both is the ultimate.
Exactly.
To be able to go back and forth between L.A. and New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the ultimate life.
And I know you do a lot of work in voiceover, right, in with the animated world and so forth. That must be a gas. Right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Especially when I get the check.
A little slow in paying.
And you can do that from here. Yeah. And you can do that in warm weather, which is nice.
Exactly.
You can do that inside.
Well, you can do that in your closet.
Exactly. Well, now you can do it in the closet, which is ironic.
Jim, have you done voiceover work?
Have you done it in your closet?
In my closet, I have done voiceover work. No one's ever heard it. It's never been produced. But I go in there, I close the door, and damn if I don't do some amazing stuff.
Some of your finest works, but
he's an artist. He's an artist.
Thank you. Read about.
It's supposedly, but in that world of animation, Jason, it's supposed to be a very competitive. Do you see that, a very competitive kind of world to kind of break through into that?
Oh, it's unbelievable now because we're all faceless, nameless kind of voices. You know, we all do. I mean, I now do my auditions at home in my pajamas. You know, on my laptop. Mm-hmm. I have a snowball mic.
Got hired for Sterling's. Actually,
was it
exactly
my pajamas?
Yeah.
I can't go on after that, but. Yeah, no, it's
something
just like
about a snowball mic.
Exactly. Then it all went dark.
Paul, you brought the damn thing in. Use it.
Oh, sorry. Hell. I can't. You're too quick.
That drummer's been drinking. It's a little to beat off.
Shut up.
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen. But yes, you know, it was different because, you know, back in the day when I was the voice of Lucky the Leprechaun for Lucky
Charms
Zero for
That's
5 years. And, you know, I went to.
We're sitting in greatness.
I know. It's true. Don't be intimidated. I'm just a guy.
They
like
said you were a fool to dream.
That's right. Well, I'm not anymore. So, you go to a casting director's office, you meet the person, you got direction, you know, they worked with you. Now you actually just put it down on your computer and no one really works with you and they got their pick of the litter, so it's very competitive.
It's so coincidental because he was the voice of the leprechaun and I was the face model for Toucan Sam for Fruit Loops.
Wow. Yes. That's amazing.
What are the odds?
A lot of people
so
don't
so funny. I've been having sugar cravings ever since I walked in here.
I have a face for radio.
Hey! They had to scale down Toucan's nose.
They did. Well, they had to fit it on the box.
Hey!
It was a double box.
Good night, everybody. It was the world's first pop-up cereal box.
Oh, a double cent. Oh, okay. My.
So we should pay the bills, Michael.
Yes, we should.
Jason, thank you so much, but please stay with us. We would like you to stay for the rest of the hour, if you would be so kind.
Thanks.
Actually, you can't get out.
Okay, fantastic. I guess I'll stay. I'm so hungry.
And we so look forward to seeing you at Sterling's upstairs.
Thank you. Me too.
Michael, would you like to kick off our arts calendar?
I will indeed. Over the past several years, the debate over the same-sex marriage has split the country, deeply divided religious communities, and galvanized American politics. Caught is a contemporary play which examines the continuous debate through the life of one American family. The play explores the meaning of marriage and how a family can find a way to meet in the middle while navigating long-standing religious values and staying true to one's beliefs. Don't miss the Ovation Recommended Caught, currently playing at the Zephyr Theater in Hollywood.
And speaking of Ovation Recommended, experience firsthand what it's like to be in the studio audience of a TV show in the 1960s. Follow second assistant director Andy and his coming of age while working on an up-and-coming crooner's television special. Featuring many of your favorites from the Great American Songbook, you'll take a journey back in time and across the country, from humble beginnings to the glitz and glamour of Tinseltown, Hoboken to Hollywood. A Journey Through the Great American Songbook is currently playing at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica.
And we hear that that may be moved into the Geffen Theater.
Oh, really?
Yes,
doing that well, huh?
Yes, doing very, very well.
So people should catch it while they can in a more intimate space.
Indeed. And for more information about the arts in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California, please visit performingartslive.com and, as always, of course, stateoftheartsla.com.
And if you want to send us an email about anything you'd like to hear about on the show, do send us an email at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. Not now, O'Hare, if you could wait till after the show. stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. So before we talk to O'Hare, which I think we should leave him a couple of minutes, you know, we should share our reviews that we have for what I saw a show this week, as did you, Michael.
I did indeed.
And do you want to tell about yours first, or you want me to start?
I'll start, Paul, and if you don't mind. And this was predicated on our having these guests in the studio recently, and they are two of the young stars of Beverly Hills 90210. Ryan, do you watch the show? Probably not.
No.
All right. Amy and Elliot is the name of the play, and the young stars are Ryan Eggold and Jillian Zinder, who have a tremendous, tremendous following on this show. I mean, the plot lines on the show are huge, and it does very well on television. And so this play, Amy and Elliot, which is a comedy, was written by Ryan Eggold and directed by him as well. And my attendance on Saturday night was, it was way more than I was expecting, actually. And the audience was composed of the young and the bold and the beautiful and industry fans and friends and co-stars of the series, Beverly Hills 90210, all flocking to see this. And it's a comedy about the timeless transition of kid to grown-up and the challenges one meets along the way in relationships and the expectations put upon them. Amy and Elliot star Ryan Eggold, who portrays Elliot, the play's pivotal character, who on television portrays West Beverly Hills' favorite high school teacher, Ryan Matthews, is skilled not only as a stage actor and director, but is very adept as a playwright, being able to blend the humor and sometimes dramatic moments into what sounds and feels very organic, Paul. It's very natural and spontaneous. Stand-up performances were given by the very interesting, dynamic, and capable Robert Baker, the genuinely funny and lovely, Alexandra Breckenridge as Amy, and the quietly beautiful and very alluring Paul, alluring.
Yes, she was here. She is certainly alluring.
Jillian Zinder, who also co-stars in 90210. As the young bohemian student Ivy, though both of these women, I must say, need to put a little bit more into their vocal projection in a 99-seat theater. They're used to television. Ryan Eggold has a very bright future, I think, ahead of him as a writer, which is what he told me is his passion, actually, after we had a little chat backstage. And certainly as a stage actor, he should be his agent should take note of his ability on the stage and get this boy to Broadway, because he's worth that, at least. He's doesn't get a chance, I think, to do on 90210 what he can do on the stage. Here's my big... I have no complaints about this play, but I have a complaint about the audience that was seeing it the night that I was seeing it.
The play was a success. The audience was a failure.
Yes, exactly.
The audience, there was a blue hue in the audience, and that's because most every person in the audience who was young and or our ages, or your ages, were on their cell phones.
Oh, irritating.
They were texting.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
They were texting. Boo, boo, boo. Yeah. And actually, the man sitting to my left, who must have been in his mid to late 60s, who must have been an industry guy because he was very, that kind of guy, he actually took a phone call during the performance and got up and made a little bit of a ruckus getting out to take it out to the lobby. At least he took it out to the lobby.
Yeah. No, no, I've seen people have full conversation just sitting there.
Shocking to me. Shocking to me that I mean, it's so disrespectful. These people were working very hard on the stage, and what a sign of disrespect. At any rate, I say that.
But that's an important thing that you bring up, Michael, because I think people think that if they're just texting and they're not taking calls, that it's not distracting to the people on stage. And when you look in the audience and you see this blue light on everyone's faces, it's just almost as bad as the phone ringing.
And obviously they're not aware of it coming, the actors on the stage, because they're, you know, they've got lights coming into their face, so they can't see that. But at any rate, please don't let that deter you from seeing this play, which has a limited run due to the schedule of 90210. And it sells out at every performance, and the buzz is that they're adding Thursdays through the remaining schedule at the Stella Adler Gilbert Stage in Hollywood now through January 30th. Reservations 323-960-7873 or online at plays411.com, and do not bring your cell phone into the phone.
Michael, are you so you're a producer slash critic?
Yes, we review on for State of the Art. Yes.
So are you're hiring me for Vitello's, but then are you going to review me as well?
No, I'll review you, pal.
Oh, okay, great. You look great today, Bob.
Thank you.
I've already written my review for you.
I actually have already, I've written the review too.
I love your shirt.
I have to go through this quickly because I don't want to eat into Jim's time, but saw Sunset Limited, Rogue Machine's production of Cormac McCarthy's Sunset Limited. Cormac McCarthy, of course, wrote No Country for Old Men. This stars Tucker Smallwood and Ron Botita. Tucker Smallwood portrays an ex-con named Black, who has forcibly prevented the suicide of a college professor, played by Ron Botita, White, who is attempting to cast himself in front of a subway train. The play takes place in the apartment of Smallwood's character, where he's basically keeping the professor captive as he probes for the reasoning behind his suicide attempt. This is a verbal chess match of the highest order. This is a fantastic play. All of the topics that are brought up, poverty, privilege, racism, spirituality, God, the afterlife, they're discussed with this. The natural musicality that these two actors have is just really impressive. And it's a great opportunity to see killer performances in a really intimate space. Monica, my wife, was, after we saw it, she made the comment of, you know, certain things you don't want to see close up. Like, you don't want to see ballet close up. You don't want to see the patina of sweat on them. You want to be back a little bit. And what's
speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
But what's really impressive about this particular production is that you are about 15, the farthest seat away is about 20 feet from these guys, and you don't see them working at all. It's very, very tight. It's a fantastic performance on both of their parts, and it's LA Times Critics Pick, it's Ovation recommended, and it's just a real, it's a verbal, I said verbal ballet, whatever, chess match. It really is something to see. It is sold out. I don't know if it's sold out through the end of this extended run, but I think they may extend it again. But the thing is, it's sort of odd times. So go to roguemachinetheater.com. That's roguemachinetheater. Theater is RE.com. Because I know they have a Monday night performance. I know their Saturday performance is at 5. So it's a little choppy in terms of when you can see it. But do try to catch it while it's here. That's presented by Rogue Machine at Theater, 5041 Pico in LA. Phone number is 323-960-4424. So that is my commercial for today.
It was a big weekend, huh?
Mm.
Yeah, and Tucker Smallwood.
It was. And Tucker, who we had on the show once before when he was doing Tracers.
Very amazing, powerful young man.
Great guy, great guy. In the late 90s, our next guest got rave reviews with one of L.A.'s greatest cult hits, the darkly brilliant Stumpy's Gang, for which he received a Dramalog Award for Best Actor. He's appeared in over 60 different TV series, features, and TV movies, including Boston Legal, Without a Trace, Cold Case, and Friends. Currently, he plays Jerry on NBC's Parks and Recreation. Give it up for Jim O'Hare.
Oh!
Hey, Jim, welcome. Welcome.
How's it going?
It's good. I have to quickly say to a story when you were saying about the cell phones.
Yes.
I was in New York and saw, this is like 2 years ago, Patti LuPone was doing Gypsy. So somebody, of course, because the cell phones all take pictures.
Yeah.
Somebody was taking pictures. She stopped that show.
God bless her.
And just, I mean... Actually, it's a couple of the radio stations play it, the clip of it.
It's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
She went off on these people, and then eventually she said, get them out of here. I will not perform until they're gone. But huge round of applause.
Oh, yeah.
You were there at that show?
I was at that show.
That's infamous.
I was at that show.
And you know, it turns out it was her photographer. He was doing an article.
Are you serious?
Yes, and he'd been following her around the theater. And he was, it was him that was taking
You're
the,
serious.
I don't know if he uses a flash anymore. But yes.
Yeah, no, just no, all so assumed it was a camera phone.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This was her photographer.
No, because think about it. A camera phone wouldn't give off a flash. She wouldn't be able to tell that. So it would have to be someone.
No, no, mine flashes.
Does it? Well, yeah. You flash anyway.
Hey!
You have to be.
Look at this.
Wow.
Wow.
And
wow.
Lowered.
Wait,
okay.
Wait, let me get my glasses.
Ow!
Oh, see, I gotta leave this shot.
Don't make me show them in your hands. Don't make me do it.
Yes, this. Yeah. Jim, I'm curious about something.
Yes.
If we could, I want to talk to you about obviously some of the other stuff, but Parks and Recreation, because that's the thing that you're doing now.
Yep.
And I'm curious about how television shows work in terms of developing characters, because I think about the first one, you know, we heard out, you know, Jim's on Parks and Recreation, Monica and I are watching it, and watching those first couple of episodes, did you know the trajectory of your character at that time? Because initially you were, you know, you were someone in the office. You didn't have
right.
many lines. You were a presence, so they could establish the world of that office. But, or... when did you find out the growth of your role? And
well, it was a bit of a gamble because we didn't know there would be growth. When I got the part, I had originally auditioned for one of the lead Ron Swanson roles and went to the brilliant Nick Offerman. But then they brought me back in, like something they saw, and brought me back in. And then I got the role of Jerry, and we were told... because Parks and Recreation is run by the same people who created The Office, you know, the American version of The Office.
Right.
So they said, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Our plan would be that Jerry would become like those characters on The Office where you get to know them. He said, but we have got 6 people we have to get the audience to know right away. So, you know, my agents are like, I don't know, do you want to do something like that? I mean, at the beginning, you're going to be doing a lot of sitting around. I said, to work for these people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michael Schur, Greg Daniels, Howard Klein, I mean... it was a no-brainer for me.
Right.
So, but we still didn't know what was going to happen. And then an episode happened where it was revealed we were doing a competition that I wanted nothing to do with. We all had to find dirt on each other. And I didn't want to do it, my character. And but finally I go and I give somebody a minor slam. I say something like, oh, yeah, I hear you had 2 parking tickets or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, oh, really? I hear your adoptive mother got caught with marijuana. Well, it turns out I didn't know I was adopted. So it was, you know, and that was their, that is when Jerry sort of, because I remember Mike Schur just did a press thing the other day. He said, that's when we knew that's where Jerry's going.
Yeah.
You know, like he's going to be that guy in the office that is, you know, a bit of a punching bag.
A bit of a sack.
Yeah, so that was sort of the turnaround for, that's when I realized, oh, I might get to stick around for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was, you mentioned that, and I'm trying to find now, because I have the perfect sound, I have the perfect sound effect for that, and would you just say that I didn't know, would just say I didn't know I was adopted?
Just to appease him, will you please?
It was very emotional, so I didn't know I was adopted. That is the perfect sound.
Yes.
Trudy knows, even though Trudy doesn't have a headset on, she knows exactly what that sound was because I've been playing for it all day. Everything, every single thing. Just the phone will ring. I don't know if I want to talk. So anyway, sorry. So you had to just be elated when. I mean, did you know? Did you know right away when that happened? That I mean, did they tell you that? This, oh, we're going to play with you now. And
no. You know. I realized as the scripts would come out week to week, all of a sudden there's a little more Jerry, a little more Jerry, a little more Jerry, and then the big surprise to me in the second season, because the first season was very short, it was 6 episodes, so it was just getting to know your main, you know, the Leslie character, Amy Poehler. But in the second season, I was given an episode.
That was the hunting one?
The hunting one I was in, yeah, that was a great one too, and I forgot. No, it's called the Park Safety. And Jerry has been mugged.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
sort of. He wasn't really, but there's some revelations later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that shocked the hell out of me. I was thrilled, and they've been getting good feedback about Jerry, so that helps too.
Is that the one where you did you fall in the pond?
I fell in the creek over a burrito.
Right.
Yeah. That's... We shot that thing. They had a stunt guy do the actual fall, but then I laid in a creek. I believe, around this time of year, and it wasn't this warm. Raining outside. I love every minute of this. I loved it.
Really?
I loved it. The other day, this gives nothing away other than to tell you, I was strapped to the roof of a car like luggage. Now, people are like, is that uncut? Bring it on. Yeah. I love all that stuff. So,
so now you mentioned in your in the bio, there's a bio about you at the Parks and Rec website. You talk about the importance of theater and how important it was to you coming out here. Did you do how much theater did you do? Because you really hit TV, hit the ground running with TV. Did you, after Stumpy's,
a couple years after Stumpy's, I got a call. Actually, the people who run the Zephyr Theater, Gary and Linda, who are amazing people, and they had a guy doing a show. They were a two-person show, and one of the actors got very ill, like bad, bad ill. He had 10 days to find somebody, and it was a 22-character show. Would I meet with
22 characters, two actors?
Two actors.
So was it like Greater Tuna?
It was like Greater Tuna, mm-hmm. And actually a lot like Greater Tuna, even in the presentation.
That was Greatest Tuna. I thought I saw that.
It
Greatest?
Better.
Better.
Than Greater.
Better
Tuna.
Than Greater Tuna.
Really?
So a guy named Bill Birch wrote it, and it was a blast, but it was terrifying. We had 10 days, so much to learn. Try to find. You know, I had, I think, 9 of the characters. It was craziness, but a lot of fun. So we did that for a while. Then I took another break doing, you know, television and stuff. And then I went back and did, what year was it? I'm going to say 05. I did a show at the Cass Theater in Hollywood and worked with them and did 3 shows in a row and had a great time. Great time.
Isn't there a theater company in town that you're close to? Wasn't there one over in Hollywood?
Yeah, that's them.
That's the same group?
Yeah, the Cass Theater. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was run by great people. It's switched over now. But just great experience. Great experience.
Do you have the time in between the show to do, like, your downtime for the show? Is it long enough to do a play, or are you just too tired?
No. I would love to, but when you're shooting, there's no way. Because we shoot 5 days a week. It's shot single camera, which means you can easily have 15, 16-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't commit. You know, you just couldn't commit to anybody.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of commitment, there's one thing that I found really wonderfully impressive about you, and that's your cause for animals and your concern for animals.
Love me my animals.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I do.
How involved and with whom do you get involved?
Well, there's a couple of great organizations. One, there's a woman out there named Addie Daddio, who is an actress, and she runs a place called Love My Dog Hollywood.
I think it's Love That Dog.
Love That Dog Hollywood. Right. Thank you, sir.
Right. We're just to get the website right.
Yeah, lovethatdoghollywood.com. She does amazing work. She does amazing work. I judged an event for her right before the holidays. So many dogs and cats, and they're lined up like there's levels of that are about to be put down.
Oh, no.
Killer. It's killer. And then there's a place called Dog E Harmony, dog-e-harmony.com.
That's illegal, isn't it?
That is not. Hey, but that is it. Basically, it's a site you can go to, and you put in your information what you'd like in a dog, and it will match.
Really?
That's amazing.
Really?
Dog-e-harmony.
How smart is that?
See, I am reminded of the Tom Lehrer line, which is that I majored in animal husbandry till they caught me at it one day.
But you had a heck of a good time. That's all they did.
Dog-e-harmony.
Trudy,
did you know about
Harmony.
It? No?
Yeah.
And
spectacular.
Run by Alice
Trudy's the dog. Trudy's a dog encyclopedia. She's a huge dog fan, so I'm surprised if she
great.
Didn't know.
And they post every day of, you know, dogs that are in urgent need. You know, then that chip-in, I don't know if you guys have heard of that chip-in. Like, if a dog needs hit by a car and it needs immediate surgery, you can go, and if you can give $5, I mean, anything anybody can do is appreciated. And vets, you know, they'll cut a deal. A lot of times they'll just take whatever you can raise to help certain animals. But it's just, so, you know, like, I'm the kind of guy, I can't watch the commercial.
No.
Cannot watch it.
Yeah, it's killer.
I couldn't watch the Kodak commercial when the dog is having trouble getting up the stairs. Forget the ones, you know, with what's her name? The Sarah McLachlan.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yes,
forget that one. Can't watch that one.
No,
that's
no,
just
no, no.
Let me jump off something. Huh?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. No.
You know, I'll tell you, there is something, though, that was went pretty viral on YouTube with this amazing video of this dog that saved another dog that was running across a highway and got hit.
That.
The other dog.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Trudy,
see that.
Did you see this? How extraordinary.
Wow.
Was this dog
drags the dog
through the highway traffic on a freeway to safety on the side of the road.
And a lot of people don't know that that dog belonged to Patti LuPone's photographer.
Wow.
You know, we've come full circle.
Wow.
See what you did there.
No, but I did see
I'm always working.
To say they're all dumb animals, that's crazy. That is not a dumb animal.
No.
That was an astounding video. I remember seeing it. I don't mean to make light of it.
It was amazing.
I agree.
Truly amazing.
That and the dog doing the mariachi dance with the on its hind legs. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think you and I watched that together. My goodness.
Well, either saving animals or mocking them. I could go either way.
Yeah.
Save and mock. That's what I did.
Well, we're saving. Now we've saved some time for these two fine people that are guesting with us today
to kind of reach
back into the...
Anals,
yes, if you want to put it that way, of your mind.
Wow, I was told I couldn't do that here.
That's the 5 o'clock show, Jason.
Wow.
We're the 4. We're the 4 to 4:50.
So sorry.
Yes.
My tea glass is empty.
So we want to take you back, or have you take us back, rather, to a time in your career on stage. It could be perhaps, working on a set, too. Anything that is the most embarrassing, most awkward, one of the most embarrassing, most awkward moments in your acting career.
Who wants to start?
Jason looks like he's
ready.
Oh, okay.
Jason was stirring the martini.
That face looks confident. Jason looks like he's ready. I'm like, no, you go, Chip. You go. Jason looks like he's ready. Well,
Jason looks just drunk enough to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Okay, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's embarrassing or awkward, but it was a memorable experience, which is when I got my equity card at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera. And one of the first shows I did, I was in the chorus of Paint Your Wagon with Jose Ferrer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first...
Could you say Jose Ferrer with more contempt?
Did I already give that away? That there was contempt for him? Jose Ferrer. Sorry, I didn't mean to telegraph. I thought I learned that in acting. Well, project. Well... Yeah, so I was working with Jose Ferrer, and I had one 8-line scene. I played the role, pivotal role, of Sandy Twist, and there were 8 lines. And this was my first dialogue uttered as an equity member on the stage of Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera. And Jose was known for forgetting his lines, and he was having a very hard time. It was in the latter part of his career, and, you know, he's brilliant. He's Cyrano de Bergerac. And... And he beat his wife, but that's not important. But anyway, so we were doing Paint Your Wagon.
She talked too much.
Sometimes they don't listen.
They don't listen. Why do you got it back in?
So anyway, fellas, I was ready to say my first line, and I came out to say my first line in the scene, and he cut from right before my first line to right after my last line of the scene.
Oh, no.
So this was opening night of my first performance. I hated Jose so much that night. But then, of course, he was so apologetic, and then the next night I got it. But sadly, I didn't have any friends there the next night.
He felt so bad that he let you beat his wife for him.
Yes, exactly. That's a nice story.
Oh, my God.
So it all works out at the end.
Funny. 2 pickets to Pittsburgh. That's what that was.
Wow. 2 pickets to Pittsburgh.
How old was he at the time?
I'm not sure. Somewhere between
40 and 10.
Yeah,
he was
not sure.
Since before there was hair. Yeah, he was an old
But he was amazing. I was so excited to work with him until that night.
One of the greatest speaking voices ever.
Oh, God, yes.
And his son is not too shabby either.
His son's amazing.
Miguel.
I see him all the time out here.
He's a good friend of mine. Yeah.
Is he? Yeah, he's fabulous. He's a great actor.
Jim, do you have one?
Along the lines of uncomfortable, doing a show, opening night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and so agents, manager, everybody's there, and I'm, you know, it was fine, and everything is going well, and about a third way into the play, I see other actors just being a little off their marks, like something's going on. 2 rats had come up onto the stage, and we're just roaming. Just big old fat rats just roaming around the stage.
And you said, my agent.
Yeah. So there was nothing you could do. No one wanted to be near them. I didn't really care. I'm not frightened by that stuff. But specifically the woman who was playing Ratchet was crazed, and it was very...
Yeah. Nurse Ratchet.
Ratchet.
It wasn't even so much that, but Ratchet. See, one of them was texting. So the rats were...
Yeah, but it's the whole after the play. Oh, hi, God, thanks so much for coming. Yeah, no, we don't have rats every night.
Those animatronic rats,
yeah,
the way you do
all
that.
Set. They're very talented.
Did so you see that YouTube video of that guy took the picture of the rat on the New York subway? There were two rats in a New York subway of this last month, and this guy had his iPhone, and this rat ran up onto this man who was sleeping at the end of this row, and he ran up onto him, and the guy like woke up, and this guy was just holding his camera phone, videoing this whole thing.
Ooh.
And the guy opens eyes, and this rat head is like in his face. Yeah. And, like,
kicks him down. The New York Tourism Board was trying to find
that
file.
Can you believe that? Oh my God. Rats.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you've enjoyed yourself today, and we want to remind you that our guest Jim O'Hare on Parks and Recreation Thursdays at 9:30, 8:30 Central on NBC.
After the Office.
After the Office.
Yay.
And also Jason Graw at Sterling's Upstairs on the 23rd of January. That's this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. show, preceded by dinner. And Jason is bringing in a beautiful show, a tribute to his dear friend Jerry Herman. Reservations 818-754-8700.
And also, I want to reiterate Jim's websites for the charitable efforts he's involved with. LoveThatDogHollywood.com.
Absolutely.
And DogEHarmony.
Dog-E-Harmony.com.
And to learn more about Jason, go to Jason Graw, GRAAE.com. And with regard to next week, Paul, in studio, our guests are accomplished writer, producer, and variety performer Maxine Lapidus.
Along with actor and entrepreneur Blair Hickey, who will be here representing Breakdown Services to discuss pilot season for The Working Actor. And I think we should have Jason play us off the air again. What do you think?
Sing us out. Yeah.
Okay, out of time once again, and we will see you all next week.
I have to warm up.
Oh, me too.
Oh.
Jingle bells. There we go.
Why am I moving at this pace? Life is going by so fast. What am I doing in this race? I always finish last. Skimming headlines, meeting deadlines, waiting for my ship to arrive. Work through lunch and after hours, telling myself that by killing myself I'll survive. Give me one moment, freeze that frame.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA Talk Radio.